It is, yes, good to have you guys here, and what a beautiful start to our time together. Thank you, Bob, Luke. Guys, what you guys shared was golden, and I really appreciate it. John Wesley, who's one of the primary founders of the Methodist Church movement, he once said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of God on earth." Yeah, he said that. You know, that just mere hyperbole, which means exaggeration. Is he just exaggerating? Or could that actually be? Have you ever wondered it for yourself? Have you ever wondered, if I was a man or a woman of greater moral excellence, how would God use me? Well, we have a picture. Today we have a picture of how God uses such a person in the man George Washington. Now, most of us just know George Washington is our first president. But I'm here to tell you, and you're about to learn, he was so much more than that. In fact, what made George Washington such a great general and a great president was that he was a great man of God. We did a group quiet time over George Washington's favorite verse. Actually, the whole chapter of that verse. Does anyone remember what it was? Micah 4:4. If you don't know what Micah 4:4 says, now's the time to look it up. But, you know, this verse, he just, what, 4 dozen times he would share the sentiment of this verse in his speeches. 4 dozen. That's 48. So, I'm helping you out here. I'm working with you. This guy loved the scriptures. He spoke the scriptures, and more than that, he lived them. It was George Washington's impeccable, that means flawless, his impeccable character, his integrity, his honesty, that made him into an instrument that God could use for honorable purposes, ready for any good work, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:21. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to, hopefully, if the technology works for us, we're going to watch several short videos about George Washington's life. Now, for those of you who have been with us, you know that we've been going through a series this summer on the faith of America's founding fathers. And we've been utilizing this DVD that was made for homeschoolers. Drive Through American History? It's fantastic. So the comedic element, don't let that throw you off. He is legit. But it was designed for kids who probably are struggling with ADD and stuff like that. So we're going to start with that, but I have a couple others that I would like to show you, Lord willing. And so this first one's going to be the longest one. It's only 10 minutes, but it's the longest little video vignette that we're going to see that does an overview of George Washington's life, and it will be our first glimpse into God's divine protection over a man's life that he had plans for. He had purposes for this man's life. And we're about to see how God is a part of that. So, with that said, we're going to show the first DVD. The greatest American who has ever lived. What a claim. I mean, wow. Is that true? Could that be true? Well, if you're wondering, maybe he's kind of stretching a little bit, I just encourage you to visit Washington, D.C. Note the name. Just visit Washington, D.C., and it will become clear to you that this man is larger than life in that city and in our country. He is quite the man. He is truly without rival. I would consider George Washington to be a more modern day man after God's own heart. And as such, God divinely protected him and performed miracles on his behalf. You heard about the situation where the entire Continental Army was trapped on Long Island, and the war would have been over, and along with it, any hopes and dreams of a free republic would have been over. And you may have noticed he just briefly mentions that there was some providential intervention. Just commented briefly about that situation. Well, it was providential intervention indeed. In fact, I almost feel a little bit ripped off that it wasn't until I was 52 years old before I learned about the situation during this event early in the American Revolutionary War. I mean, these guys were as good as dead. I mean, there was no hope for them. The revolution would have been over. But God showed up. Now, am I using some hyperbole? You're about to see. Something godlike happened when the Continental Army was trapped on Long Island. And I can factor no other way to explain it than that God himself was fighting for the birth of this new nation. Let your mind wrap around that one. Okay, so hopefully, are we able to play this DVD? Great. All right, so this is a short 5-minute video vignette about the situation on Long Island. Okay, that was a good one, but that wasn't the one that I was wanting to show. But that was, I did want to show that one, but I knew I didn't have time. So now you got to see it. That was phenomenal. And in fact, that last quote was what stuck with me enough that we are under a peculiar obligation before God Almighty to be a holy nation. The video that I was hoping to show you, I'm just going to share with you real quick what happened. Okay, so the Continental Army is forced to the edge of Long Island. They are trapped there by the British Army, who are with overwhelming superior forces, and they are going to demolish them the next day. And in the over the course of the night, they were shipping. They had gotten boats and rafts and stuff, and were ferrying people across the river to escape. But by the time morning came, there was still 10,000 soldiers on Long Island, or somewhere in that vicinity, in a significant number. But at that point of the day, the accounts of this are eerie. A strange fog lifted from the waters and settled right in front of the Continental Army. I kid you not, look it up. And blocked the advance of the British. They couldn't see. It was so thick, they couldn't see a man 10 feet from them. It was that thick. And it gave time for the rest of the Continental Army to escape across the water. And here's the thing. He's like, well, fog could do that. It didn't dissipate. When the sun was at high noon, the fog was still there and enabled the entire army to escape. Pretty phenomenal. I mean, just watching that video and hearing about it gives me goosebumps. It's amazing to see. And then even in that battle where George Washington is in front of his troops and he commands them to fire, I mean, that's one of the cardinal laws when you're out on the shooting range is you don't stand in front of the people shooting. But that's what George Washington did to inspire his troops. Truly an amazing thing. Guys, this means if you could just let your mind grasp this, these accounts being legitimate, it means that God has plans for this country. He wanted it to be. He wanted it to be. It wasn't the Continental Army that beat the British. It was God fighting for us that did. Now some people have this mistaken notion that if God's favor rests on you, if you're in the middle of God's will, then you've got it made. I mean, it's like easy street. You know, you got the good life, trouble-free, problem-free, Hakuna Matata. You know, we get this notion. If God is for you, then you've got it. Well, just name one man or woman of God in all of the scriptures that had that kind of life. There is none. In fact, it seems that the greater God's plan to use your life, the harder your life is, at least at points, it is extremely difficult. Life was not easy for George Washington. Just imagine for yourself the stress he was under before the fog appeared. You know, we all love a happy ending. You don't seem to realize that in order to get to a happy ending, that means you need to go through a lot of hardship and suffering. We don't like that part. But there's a necessary path, a valley to go through before you get to the happy ending. Well, there was no situation worse for George Washington than during the winter of 1777 to 1778 when he was at Valley Forge. At that time, morale was at an all-time low. And the temperature was even lower. It was bad. Washington's army had spent the summer of 1777 fighting a string of losing battles, and they were unable to keep the British out of Philadelphia, which at that time was the largest city in the colony. So it was bad, worse than you can imagine. It's at times like these when you're squeezed, that what is inside of you comes out. Suffering tests the soul. And it was at Valley Forge that we see what kind of man George Washington really is. So here's this last video, 4 minutes of Valley Forge. Wouldn't it be nice to hear our leaders speak like that today? I mean, you may need to have a dictionary next to you, you know, to look up some of those words. But amazing faith and character and resolve, incredible. And so the question that penetrated my mind as I watched these this week was, wow, how do I respond when I'm facing my valley forge? How do you respond when you are facing your valley forge? When life isn't going the way you want it, when God isn't coming through for you, when it appears like He's not answering your prayers, what kind of person do you become then? When you're squeezed, what comes out of you? Is it anger, cursing, fear, worry? Fill in the blank. For George Washington, what came out of him was a greater devotion and a greater determination to love God and to act like a man of God, no matter what it costs. God's grace and His mercy on America started with His grace and His mercy on George Washington. If it wasn't for him, I shudder at what kind of nation we would be. I started with this quote: "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth." And it bore true in starting a revival that established the Methodist Church denomination, which at one time passionately was devoted to God. And it bore true in establishing these United States of America, which at one time was a beacon of faith and freedom to the world. And it could bore true again. If such men and women like George Washington were to rise up, take God seriously, and live courageously for the gospel, it would shake Lifehouse Church and all of Decorah with it. So who's with me? Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Roland. That's right. That's why we're here. This is why we're persevering. This is why we're believing God for great things to happen through this small ragtag army. Great things. I would like to ask you guys to be joining me in prayer as we investigate a new location above the Bank of the West. It is way out of our price range because it is such a nice facility. Lots of extra space. I mean, we'll feel like we're living high on the hog up there. But the rent is like triple what we're paying now. We need God to move some hearts. And so that's where prayer comes in. So our inquiries are being made. And if it happens, hopefully by the start of our new series in September, which is Living in Light of Eternity, our new series in September, hopefully, maybe, possibly by then, we might actually be in a new location. Do you have a question? That it was the one night next to the game exchange where it used to be. Yeah, it was a barbecue place. Yeah, what about it? Not to my knowledge. Yeah, that's pretty small. Yeah. I like the way you think. Pray with me, guys. Lord Jesus, we have just been treated with an inside look on George Washington's life that honestly most of us knew nothing about. We didn't know what kind of man this guy was. We just hear the kind of scraps that are thrown at us in public school or maybe college. And sometimes even then it's so selective. It's only there to make him look bad, to make him look like a hypocrite when there was nothing is farther from the truth. Such a man of God, such a man of impeccable character. It's amazing that you have blessed us with a leader like that at the inception of this country. Lord, I pray that he wouldn't be the last one. There's no reason why we cannot believe you to work in our lives like you did in his. There's no reason to think that we are somehow exempt or we no longer qualify to be a man or a woman of God. There's no reason for that. Oh, how I pray we would long for it, we'd thirst for it, we'd desire to know Christ, to be in Christ, to live like Christ in our day, in our time, through our valley forges or whatnot. I pray we'd be men of God like George Washington. I do pray for your grace and mercy on Lifehouse Church in light of our interest in getting a new location that would be more permanent. We'd have it 24/7. We wouldn't have to move whenever the school needed to use this place on a Sunday morning. It would be great, God. We leave that request in your hands. We know you love us. You don't have to prove anything to us. You did it enough at the cross. We are set and secure in your grace and your love and your forgiveness. But Lord, as your children, we just come and we ask you, as our loving Father, we say, hey, God, we would love to have this new facility if that would be best for this church and for your gospel. And I pray you'd make it so. In Jesus' name.